So welcome everyone to session number 9 tonight, and I'll just tell you it's going to be a doozy, okay? It's going to be a doozy. Hold on. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that reveals your word. I ask you in Jesus' name to open our minds to understand the scriptures so that we would not be deceived by the deceiver. And tonight we're talking about deception. You warned us about the deception of the last days, and it's all around us. May it not be in us. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. We spent 8 weeks on the words of Jesus, asking the question repeatedly, what did you say? Now we're going to spend the final 4 sessions dealing with the waiting. I preached a series on 5 D's back in 2022, and that series was very important to me personally. It was very personal. Those 5 D's came out of my prayer time, that God revealed that to me. So I thought this would be a good, if we've ever needed a time to talk about these 5 D's, it's now. So I put it at the end of this session, this semester, and here's what it is. I pray every day, multiple times a day usually, I pray that I cannot be deceived, distracted, dissuaded, discouraged, or disheartened. And I'll get into what that means. I pray daily these things. I'm going to try to do them in 4 sessions. There's 5 of those D's, and I was running out of weeks in this semester, so I'm going to try to get them inside 4 weeks. The 4-week series called While We Wait. Because right now, if you're a believer and you are under the power of the Holy Spirit, you are waiting for Jesus. Let me just be straight up. If you have the Holy Spirit, your overriding goal and purpose in life is you're waiting for Jesus. I don't have time to get into it. It's just the way it is. While we wait, we need to pray that God protects us from these 5 D's. These 5 D's are all tools of Satan that can destroy our fellowship with God and our ability to serve our Lord Jesus. These 5 D's that you don't want. You don't want these in your life, these D's. So the first one tonight is deceived, and basically they all stack on top of this one. If you look up the definition, it's to believe something that's not true, typically in order to gain personal advantage. Now this is important. The definition itself is important. Don't you think it's easier to believe something that you want to believe than to believe something that you'd rather not be true? Are you with me? So a lie is a lie. But it's a lot easier to believe a lie that's advantageous than it is to believe a lie that's disadvantaged to you. Let me give you another one. It's not in my notes, but it's a scripture that I use a lot. It's Matthew 6:23. Jesus says in Matthew 6:23, if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep is the darkness? Why? Because you're so deceived that you thought the darkness was light. You know what that is? It's called lost. You're lost. And I'm not sure that there's a place that you cannot recover from that. If the light you think you have is actually darkness, then how deep that darkness is. And that describes much of the culture today. I don't want to be deceived. I don't want to live my life believing something that's not true. So what are some of the synonyms of this word deceived? Swindle, defraud, cheat, trick, hoodwink, hoax, dupe, take in, mislead, delude. These are all tools of Satan that are used in spiritual warfare. And here, this is important. Satan's primary tool in his toolbox is deception. Do you know that? His trick is deception. People will die because of this first D, leading to the big D called death. So let me put it this way. Deceived, to be deceived is deadly. It will kill you. Not knowing the truth, believing something that is not true can kill you. Do you understand that? That if truth is Jesus, Jesus says, I'm the way, truth, and the life. So to not know the truth, not know about the truth, but to not know the truth is death. You with me? If he is the truth, he is life. If you don't know the truth, you do not have life, which equals death. Not complicated. So let me give you an example of a real life example of this first D called deceived that can kill you. Genesis 3:4. Here it comes. You won't die. Liar. That's what he says to Eve. You won't die. The serpent replied to the woman. You won't die. Now you must understand something here. God had already told them the truth. You will die. And here he comes and says, you won't die. But he had already told them the truth. You will what? You will die if you eat of this tree. You will die. And then another voice says, you won't die. One of these voices in the garden is lying, and one is telling the truth. It's a bad thing to be wrong about. Why? Because the penalty is not time out. The penalty's death. He got her. Satan got her. He got her. Well, what? He took one line. You won't die. And that sentence, you won't die, was put over top of the sentence that you will die. And they accepted Satan as truth over God. He did what to Eve? He deceived her. He took the truth and inverted it. He turned it over. You won't. You will. No, you won't. You will. No, you won't. You will. No, you won't. You think he's still doing that? It's always been interesting to me. Why did Satan go to Eve instead of Adam? You ever wonder that? I mean, it's a great question. Why did Satan, and I'm going to just give you, here's a shot in the dark guess. And I don't think it's too far from being applicable. You see, Adam came from God. Eve came from Adam. So when he decided to deceive, he went as far down as he could get away from God to plant the seed. And you couldn't get any further away than Eve because there were only two choices. So Adam comes from God. Eve comes from man. So he goes to her and he gets her. Why did he go to her? Nobody knows for sure. But look at verse 1 Timothy 2:14. This is the New Testament. And it was not Adam who was deceived by Satan. Do you know that's in the Bible? I remember having a few years ago, I remember reading this in a study, and people fell out of their chairs. That's in the Bible? Yeah. It was not Adam who was deceived by Satan. The woman was deceived, and sin was the result. But listen, in case you get confused, but because Eve came from Adam, Adam bore the guilt. You with me? And by the way, just in case you want to go a little deeper, where did Adam come from? He came from God, but where did he come from? He came from the dust. He came from the earth. The earth was cursed too. So whatever you came from, receive the curse. Eve came from Adam. Eve is cursed. Adam bears responsibility. Adam comes from the dust of the earth. The earth is cursed. It flows to the source of the beginning. Interesting, isn't it? But no matter how you want to look at it, he got her. Satan deceived Eve. She believed the lie when she clearly knew the truth. Is it important that you know the truth? Yeah. But did she know the truth? Yeah, she knew. In fact, didn't she quote it to Satan? He said, did God really say? Yes, God said. Yeah. She quoted the truth. She knew the truth, accepted the lie. How many people in the church know the truth but accept the lie? You know sin's sin. Do you remember the definition of deceive that I read earlier? To believe something that is not true, typically in order to gain some personal advantage. So let's look at the Eve story. It's easy to be deceived when the lie looks advantageous. Did Satan make it look good? When he used the ruse, when he used the deception, did he play it up? Did he make it look good? Yes. Satan made that forbidden fruit look delicious, but there was a problem. It's still a lie. Verse 4, you won't die, the serpent replied to the woman. God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God. Is that advantageous? Yeah, it's definitely an upgrade, right? You could, okay, anybody here, you could be like God. Take this pill, take this, you know, you could be like God. It's an upgrade. You'd be like God, knowing both good and evil. Satan's deception plays on our desire for advantage, our desire for personal gain. Can you see it in this scene? In fact, let me put it like this. The fruit, what Satan is marketing, the deception that he's marketing, is the fruit will make you smarter, it'll make you more powerful, and it'll make you more free. Well, I'd like to have all three of those. Right? If that's the truth, that's a pretty good deal. If I take this fruit, I can be smarter, more powerful, and more free. It's a deception. It won't give you any of the three. So why does the deception work? Because it's what you wanted it to be. That's how it works. Because that's what you really want. You'd like to be smarter. You'd like to be more powerful, and you'd like to have more freedom to make your own choices. The problem is, you're not God. And the guy that made you the deal, he ain't God either. And the one who is God already told you the rules. But it's advantageous to get a promotion. I can get a bigger IQ, right? I can be smarter. I'm more powerful. Your eyes will be open to see what you've never seen before. Wow, that'd be cool. You'll be like God. You can make your own rules. Wow. Isn't that, huh? Think about it. You can, like, control your own universe. He's a liar. You can determine your own good and evil. So let's look at the American culture today and see if this has any application. It's called deception. That might be true for you, but it's not true for me. What do you think that means? There's no truth. Each person is God. Each person's God. That you're going to be your own God. So if you're your own God, you can make your own truth, right? Don't tell me your truth. That may be true for you, preacher, but it's not my truth. I'll make my own truth. You make your own truth. The problem is, that's like thinking that you can be your own God, and it's not going to work. She had already noticed the fruit looked delicious. That's advantageous, right? He got her. She knew the truth, but she got deceived. He got her. He convinced her. Verse 6, the woman was convinced. You can set the hook now, right? She's took the bait, set the hook. The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful. Is that advantageous? Yeah. She saw the tree was beautiful. Its fruit looked delicious. And she wanted the wisdom that it would give her. You see how the deception works. It's luring you in. I like to fish. Chad talked Sunday about fishing. I like to fish, And sometimes there's baits that I really like to use because that you can fish them a certain way and it's just easier. But if they don't, if it's not a bait that they want to eat, it doesn't matter how much you like the bait. It's got to be something they want to eat, that they're hungry for. So when Satan casts his bait towards you, he's casting something that's advantageous. He's not going to tempt you with something that's repulsive. He's going to tempt you with something that you were hoping to be true anyway. And thus, the distance between the lie and the truth is shortened. Because I was really hoping that'd be true. What? That this fruit would make me like God. You see the deception? The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious. She wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it, and then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. And at that moment, I suppose it was instantaneous. At that moment, their eyes were open, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. Oh, to be deceived. But you will gain wisdom. Oh, to be deceived. Yes, her eyes were opened. But what did she see? There's a certain truth to the lie, right? That's how he does it. There's a little bit of truth hidden inside all the smoke. Your eyes will be open. What did she see? Immediately she saw guilt, shame, and nakedness. Well, that wasn't in the fine print. I wasn't looking for that one, but that's what she saw. He convinced her. Satan convinced Eve to believe a lie that was supposed to bring her some sort of advantage over her previous condition, but there's one big problem. It's all a lie. Do you know how I know that? Genesis 5:5. Adam lived 930 years and then he died. Was he supposed to die? Mm-mm. In fact, God offered him dominion over all of creation without an expiration date. Anybody with me? No expiration date. You could still be alive today. What did deception do? It brought death to the earth. Now, let me stop for a moment and make a huge point right now. Some of you in this room right now, please don't raise your hand if you're one of them. Stay secret. Some of you right now, if you be honest, you're struggling to believe this Adam-Eve serpent garden story to be true. Why? Because you're smarter than the rest of us. Because you've been educated beyond your own understanding. Let that one sink in for a moment. You've been educated in the American education system. And when somebody like me stands up here and tells the story about Adam and Eve and a serpent and a tree and death, you kind of under your breath say, simpleton. Simpleton, you're one of those. Yeah, I'm one of those. Some of you are struggling already, right now. Maybe you, in fact, let me take a sidebar here. This was a few years ago. I preached a sermon here, and there was a guy, and he wrote me the nastiest email. And he said, "You're smarter than that." And I thought, well, that's a compliment, but he didn't mean it. I talked about that I believe in the story of Adam and Eve and the garden and the serpent and sin. And he was angry that I would even dare bring that story to the intellectual elite of his presence. And he sends me a snap. He didn't send me one email. He sent me multiple emails. Multiple emails. So I'll ask each of you a question tonight, okay? Let's go down that road a little bit. Why do you think people die? So I just described to you the reason death is on the earth. I gave you Adam, Eve, serpent, lie, deception, death. I just described you the reason people die. Adam lived 930 years and he died. He died because of deception. He fell for it. So, why do you think people die? I've shared with multiple times, I preached a funeral several years ago, and I said, sin is the cause of death. Sin has brought death to this room. So I said something like that. Sin is the cause of death. Sin brought death to this room. And some lady, who didn't like me very much either, she was kind of right in this middle section here, and she gets up and takes her chair and throws it and goes out the back door. I was glad she went that way. Yep, go for it. Why? She was offended by the idea that sin equals death. The equation, sin equals death, is offensive to her. So I would ask the question, so give me your equation. If you reject mine, sin equals death, then what's yours? So I'll ask you, what's your equation? Why do people die? Let's go a little deeper. Everyone dies. I don't know anybody 130, neither do you. Why'd they die? What is the truth? So here comes another one. Did you come from Adam and Eve? Is that the truth? Did everyone on earth come originally from Adam and Eve? Is that the truth or is that a lie? If you go to a university in America, they will tell you that's a lie. They will tell you that's a lie. Now you come to church and the preacher tells you it's the truth. But you got to decide. I can't decide for you. I can just decide for me. Did everyone come from Adam? So let's examine. Charles Darwin said you came from chance random processes over millions of years. If you want to know where that came from, it comes from the Origin of the Species book that was published in 1859. Is that the truth or is that a lie? They can't both be true. You can't do both. So if you're one of those that likes multiple choice questions, you only get to check one box. Okay? They can't both be right. So that's one example. Is that true? Is that why people die? Is that where you came from? What about Stephen Hawking? How many of you know who Stephen Hawking is? A few of you. He died in March of 2018. At the age of 76, he was wheelchair-bound, had terrible disease, but intellectually, he was called a modern-day Einstein. He was brilliant. In fact, he was so brilliant that he became the poster child for much of academia. Let me tell you what Stephen Hawking says, and this is, go back, go look it up yourself. Don't take my word for it, go look it up yourself. Stephen Hawking, just a few years ago, said Charles Darwin's theory is untenable. Untenable. He says it's foolishness. So he came up with another one. Now he's, again, Darwin was in 1859. Stephen Hawking died in 2018, just a few years ago. So what was his? Now he's more, he has more information, obviously, than Charles Darwin. So Hawking said life was carried here inside ice crystals from other galaxies, or he gives option B. Or alien creatures from other galaxies came here in the beginning. I'm not making this up, okay? That's what he said. So let me ask you a question. Is that the truth? They can't both be true. But my favorite alternative viewpoint came from Bill Nye, the Science Guy. That guy you let your kids watch on Saturday. You need to stop that. Bill Nye said these four things. And by the way, Bill Nye, he had this big debate with Ken Ham. He actually came and toured the Ark in Northern Kentucky back in 2014. And here's what he said. And he made it public. You can go look it up. He made it public. This is his position. He gives four positions. Number one, this is from Bill Nye, the Science Guy. It's not crazy to believe we're descendants from Martians. It's not crazy. When you're dead, you're done. No life after this life. right and wrong is determined by the consensus of the tribe. And number four, the universe and life arose by natural processes, no supernatural whatsoever. Now, I give you those perspectives, intellectual perspectives, Charles Darwin, Stephen Hawking, and Bill Nye, the science guy. And then I give you Genesis, the Bible. Who's right? Everyone can't be right. Somebody's got to be wrong, right? They can't all be true. Someone's telling the truth, someone's lying. And here's what I say, oh, to be deceived. Charles Darwin, Stephen Hawking, Bill Nye, and go ahead and include most academic institutions in the world today and ask these two questions. Where did we all come from and why do people die? And you can kind of figure out a whole lot about the source of truth and deception in two questions. If Charles Darwin is right, listen carefully, because deception has consequences. Truth has consequences. If Charles Darwin is right, I'm not sure why any of us are here tonight. If Charles Darwin is right and you came from chance random processes, that's his words, chance random processes over millions of years. If he's right, let me ask you a secondary question. What is the meaning of life? There is none. If you came from nothing and you're going to nothing, logic says the middle is nothing. If you came from nothing and you're headed to nothing, then the meaning of life is nothing. And if you raise a generation of kids in public school and put that in their head, you came from nothing, there is nothing in front of you, behave and be good citizens. Why? I rebel because it means nothing. Do you see it? If Stephen Hawking and Bill Nye are right, I don't think you need to come back Sunday. If they're right, life has no meaning or purpose. This is all meaningless. You should what? You should eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. Party hardy. Now somebody will clip that out of this message and they'll say, "That, did you hear what Terry said? He said, party hardy." Bill Nye said what? When you're dead, you're done. Is it true? Do you think it matters? Do you think that little bit of deception really gonna matter? Spirits don't die. Three words. Spirits don't die. And you are a spirit being. You will not die. God breathed into you the breath of life and he has pushed you into eternity. And you are now a forever being. The question is, where will you be forever at? You are a spirit being. You have the breath of God, which is eternal in you. Your existence will not expire. You are a soul. You are a spirit. Your flesh may turn to dust, but you will not. And the question is, will you fall for the deception? Bill Nye's deception is when you're dead, you're done. That'd be a terrible thing to be wrong about. But what if they are all deceived? Charles Darwin, Stephen Hawking, Bill Nye, what if they're all deceived? And what if they are all dead wrong? Were they there in the beginning when Adam and Eve first lived in the garden? They weren't there. So how could they know the origin of man? Charles Darwin's book is called The Origin of the Species. How could he know the origin of species when he wasn't there? It's a good question. He's guessing. And by the way, he's dead. He's found out by now. They weren't there, so how could they know the reason for death? Was anyone there in the beginning, and does anyone know the real truth? That's a real question. Was anybody there in the beginning, and could anyone possibly know the real truth about the origin of the species, and why do people die? There is one that was there. He was there in the beginning, from the dawn of creation itself. Only one, and guess what? Some 4,000 years after the time of Adam and Eve, he, the one, met with a man named Paul and told him about the origin of man and the reason of death. He told a man, and he came from the first day. He was here. So he's got firsthand information about the origin of man, the origin of the species, and why do people die? Paul, who gets this information from this one man, then writes down the message from the one who was there in the beginning. Paul writes it down so that the world will know the truth about life and death to keep the world from being deceived. This is big, right? So what did Paul write? What did the one who was actually there at the beginning tell the Apostle Paul? And by the way, Paul is revealing this truth to the Bill Nyes of that day. Who's he revealing it to? To the academics in Athens, Greece. They're the Bill Nyes of that generation. It's found in Acts 17:26, and it says, from one man, he, God, from one man, his name's Adam, God created all the nations throughout the whole earth from one man. He, God, decided beforehand when they should rise and fall, and he, God, determined their boundaries. From one man, the Creator said, we all came from Adam. Every nation, every tribe, every language, we all came from Adam. Now, let me throw something else in there. This is so important. If that's true, we all came from one man, Adam, everybody. Doesn't matter what part of the world you come, what your skin color is, it doesn't matter. We all came from Adam. If that's true, and I'm convinced it is exactly true, there is no such thing as racism. You know where racism comes from? Listen carefully. You know where racism comes from? Darwinism. Do you know why? You know what Darwinism teaches? Some people who slithered out of the sleuth slithered faster forward than other people slithered. And the ones who slithered faster forward were Caucasians, and the ones that slithered slowly were black people. It's in Charles Darwin's book. Where did racism come from? It didn't come from the Word of God. It came from the origin of the species, what is being taught in universities, even still, even public schools. But God's Word says, we all came from Adam. There are no races. There's people groups, different skin pigments, but there's no races. I guess there's a race called the human race. And racism disappears. Do you see what deception does? It makes people fight each other over something that's not even true in the beginning. From one man, the Creator said, we all came from Adam. What else did this one who was there in the beginning reveal? What else did he reveal to the Apostle Paul? Romans 5:12. When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. And Adam's sin, why do people die? Remember, I had two questions. And sin entered the world, and Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. That's it. The answer to the two big questions from one who was actually there in the beginning. We all came from one man. His name is Adam. And Adam sinned and brought death to all that would come from his seed, his lineage. And sin brought death, and death is spread to the whole world, and everyone became sinners. Sin was a deadly contagion, and everyone has contracted the sickness that leads to certain death. Is that it? Is that the story of man? It is the beginning of the story. Is that all that the one who was there in the beginning of creation reveals, or is there more? Is that it? We are born with this sin sickness. We live and we die. Is that it? When you're dead, you're done. Is that it? Or is there any hope for us mortals? Yes, there's more. Oh, yes, there's more. Romans 5:18. Yes. Adam's one sin brings condemnation. That is called death. Adam's one sin. Let me stop for a moment. How many sins did Adam have to commit against God before he lost his place in the garden? One. That's all it took. One. Adam's sin brings condemnation for everyone. Why? We all came from Adam. He's our father. It's contagious. It's in our bloodline. It got us all. We all came from him. It flowed into the rest of us. But Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and a new life for everyone. Because one person, Adam, disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because one other person obeyed God, many have been made righteous. Now, if the sin of one man brought death to all mankind, what would happen if there was another man, a second Adam, but this second Adam never sinned? What if the second Adam, the last Adam, was never, ever deceived? What would happen? If everyone on earth was from Adam, that means we're all under the curse of sin and death. But what if there is one that is not from Adam's seed? Do you know why the virgin birth is such a critical doctrine in the church? The virgin birth says there's a man on the earth that didn't come from Adam, who's got a different daddy than anybody else who's ever lived. What if there is one that is not from Adam's seed, one that does not claim Adam as his father? He's born of a different father, born of a different bloodline altogether. What would happen? What would happen? This would change everything. If sin is the cause of death, if sin equals death, if that's a truth, an irrefutable truth, if sin is the cause of death, then death could be stopped by the one who does not sin. It could be stopped by the one who is not deceived. But is there such a man? Is there a second Adam? Is there a last Adam? One without sin, one without deception, one from God, one whose father is God and not from Adam? Yes, but only one. He is Christ, the Messiah. He is Jesus, our Lord, our King. 1 Corinthians 15:45. The scriptures tell us the first man, Adam, became a living person. Some say a living soul. But the last Adam, that is Christ, is a life-giving spirit. Don't miss the word. Life-giving spirit. What comes first is the natural body. Then the spiritual body comes later. Adam, the first man, was made from the dust of the earth, while Christ, the second man, came from heaven. One comes from the dust, one comes from heaven. Very different. The first and the second, very different. One from the dust, one from heaven. Earthly people, that'd be us, are like the earthly man, Adam. We came from the dust. Heavenly people are like the heavenly man, Jesus. And just as we are now like the earthly man, that's where we start. We start like the earthly man. We're dust people. By the way, this Sunday sermon's called Dust and Ashes. We are like the dust people. We're like the earthly man. We will someday, we will someday be like the heavenly man. Somebody say hallelujah. The first Adam was not a life-giving spirit. He was a death-giving sinner. That's kind of a sad sentence, isn't it? But it's just true. He was a death-giving sinner. But there is another Adam. Church, do not be deceived. There's another Adam. A life-giving spirit. Focus on that word for a moment. Life-giving spirit. What if we could connect our lives to this second Adam who comes from the Holy Father in heaven? He's not from the earth. He's not made of dust. What if we could connect our lives, our dust people lives, to the life-giving spirit? What if we could run a cord over and plug into the life-giving spirit and disconnect ourselves from the dust, sinful seed of Adam? Is that possible? How could the sin-filled descendants of Adam ever transfer into the family of the last Adam named Jesus, the man from the other father, God himself? How can I get from here to there? How can I get from death to life? We were all born into the seed of Adam. We would have to be born a second time. Sound familiar? We would have to be born a second time. We would have to be born again. How is that even possible? How can I enter a second time into my mother's womb? Nicodemus asked Jesus. Did the one from heaven tell us how? Yes, he did. But you would have to believe him for it to have application. John 3, verse 1. There was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. And after dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. Rabbi, he said, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Wow. I tell you the truth. How simple is that sentence? You know, he does that 78 times in the NIV. 78 times he says, I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. You think maybe he's trying to tell us the truth? And what's the best cure for the deception? I tell you the truth. So what is the truth? Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, there's the problem. How can I be born again? How can I get out of this Adam genealogy that leads to certain death? So I'm going to tell you the truth. Jesus says, unless you are born again, you cannot see this kingdom of God. What do you mean? Exclaimed Nicodemus. How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus replied, I assure you. You think he's bluffing? Nope. I assure you. No one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of the water and the Spirit. Here it comes. Humans, that's the Adam people, okay? Adam, dust of the earth, subject to death, mortals, us. Humans can reproduce only human life. That's why we all die. Don't matter what you do, you can only reproduce people who die. And they'll reproduce people who'll die, and they'll reproduce people who'll die. Why? Because we all came from somebody who brought death to the earth, Adam. I'm happy there's a comma and a but. Humans can only reproduce human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So, don't be surprised, Nicodemus, when I say, you must, or you're going to die. You must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it's going. So you people can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. How are these things possible, Nicodemus asked. So let me ask the church, how is this possible? Nicodemus is a smart guy. He's a Pharisee. He's a learned man. And he says, how is this possible? The wind blows, and I can't tell where the wind comes from. I can hear it. I can feel its effects, but I can't tell how it works. So it is with the Spirit, Jesus says. Can we really be born again? Let's be practical. Can we be transferred from Adam's fallen family into the family of Christ, the second Adam? Can I change families? Is there really a way to be set free from the curse of sin and death and connect our lives to this life-giving Spirit of Christ and connecting us to His Father, the Father from heaven? Yes. There is a way, there is a truth, and there is a life for all who will believe. It's called faith. Believe what? Believe the truth. What truth? Well, let's start with the fundamental truth. Human life can only reproduce human life, and that's a problem. You'll die, just like everybody before you. But the Holy Spirit gives spiritual life, eternal life. Oh, to be deceived. What would deception look like right now, today? All of that background is to get to right here. What would deception look like right now, today, in the world? Let's look at some options in our search for truth. Maybe it's Darwin's religion of evolution. Maybe it's Hawking's religion of Martians or Bill Nye's religion of when you're dead, you're done. Oh, how dangerous it is to be deceived. Or maybe, let's get more realistic. Maybe it's a religion that looks like this. God is love and everyone goes to heaven. But is that truth? I've talked about it a lot lately. It's called universalism. God's love is greater than man's sin, so everybody goes to heaven. Oh, to be deceived. Well, maybe it looks like this one. We are born, we live, and we die, and there is nothing on the other side of the grave. When you're dead, you're done. Is that the truth? Can spirits die? Are you a spirit? Can spirits die? What happens when you breathe that last breath of life? When you're dead, are you done? Be deceived. Maybe it's about how good you are. I know. This is it. Maybe it's being a good neighbor, a good husband, a good wife, a good father, a good brother, a good sister, a good friend. I recycle. Surely that counts. I washed out those dirty things and put them in the right bin. I even worked in the nursery at church once. Right? That counts. That's got to be it. Right? Oh, to be deceived. Do you want the truth? Only the truth will set you free from sin and death. The truth always overpowers the deception. And here's the question, and it's real. I'm not joking. Do you want the truth? What if the truth is harder than the lie? Because here it comes. What if the truth is harder than a lie? Do you still want the truth? What if the truth seems unnatural and difficult, and even without short-term advantages, would you still want the truth? I can tell you it's narrowing down the people who want the truth. What if the truth is unnatural? It's difficult. Nobody around me is doing it. And it has no short-term benefit. You tell me about long-term benefit, but what about the short-term? Short-term, it just makes people not like me. Do you still want the truth? Are you sure? Because here it comes. Matthew 10:32. Everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But everyone, notice the word everyone, big word. Everyone who denies me here on earth, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Don't imagine that I came to bring peace to the earth. You can take that part out of your Christmas play. Don't imagine that I came to bring peace on earth. I came not to bring peace, but a sword. I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Your enemies, are you ready? Will be right in your own household. If you love your father or mother more than you love me, Jesus said, you are not worthy of being mine. Or if you love your son or daughter more than me, you are not worthy of being mine. And if you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you are not worthy of being mine. And if you cling to your life here on this earth, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. Let me ask you a question. Is that true? Is that absolute truth? Let me be specific. If you go to work or you go to school, you go wherever outside of here, if you refuse to acknowledge Jesus as Lord on this earth, you'll be rejected in heaven. Oh, to be deceived. He didn't. I know he said it, preacher, but that's not what he meant. Oh, to be deceived. Is that true, really? To deny Christ now will mean your denial in the presence of the Father later? Is that true? Oh, to be deceived. Is that true? Jesus came to bring a sword? Not peace. His name and his truth will divide families. It'll divide nations. It'll make people hate your guts. Is that true? Oh, to be deceived. Is that true? People will be your enemies if you side with Jesus. Yes, even inside your own family. Oh, to be deceived. Is that true? Jesus comes before your kids? Oh, come on, preacher. That's not right. You made that one up. Give me another translation. What, before your kids? Before your spouse? Before everything? Before politics? Huh? Oh, to be deceived. Is that true? I have to take up a cross? I have to die to myself? I have to be born again? I got to die and be reborn into eternal life? Is that true? Or to be deceived? Is that true? If I cling to my life, if the one thing that I have control of in this world is me, my free will, my choice to believe or unbelieve, if I try to hang on to that I will lose my life forever. Is that true? Oh, to be deceived. So here's my wrap up tonight. You won't die. You can be like God, knowing both good and evil. I am amazed that the lie of Satan is still the lie of Satan. It still works. Most people live their life like they're never going to die. When down deep, you know that you are. People live their life like they're never going to face God when you don't know anybody that's 125. You won't die. You can be like God. You can know good and evil. You can decide truth for yourself. You can. Just follow me. Oh, to be deceived. God wouldn't send anyone to hell. Boy, I've heard that one a bunch. Oh, to be deceived. I believe that if you believed you were lost and Jesus had the power to save you, I believe you'd believe in Jesus. I'm going to say it again. I believe, here's how simple I see the gospel. I believe that if you believed you were lost and Jesus had the power to save you, I believe you'd believe in Jesus. Let me break it down. I believe that if you believed that you, in your original condition, the son of Adam, you are lost, sinner, destined for hell. If you would accept that as truth, I believe that if you believe that you were lost and Jesus had the power to save you, I believe you'd believe in Jesus. Because I don't think any of you want to go to hell. Oh, to be deceived. So what is it? That begs a secondary question. So do you... I believe that if you believed you were lost. Do you not think you're lost? Everybody goes to heaven? Well, you made that up. You know, Jesus talks more about hell than heaven. Do you know that? It's okay, so if I believe you were lost, do you not believe Jesus wants to save you? Well, then look at the cross. If you ever wondered if God wanted to save you, look at the cross. I wouldn't send my kids to that cross for any of you. Nobody. I believe that if you believed you were lost and Jesus had the power to save you, I believe without a doubt you'd believe in Jesus. Oh, to be deceived. Deceived, to believe something that's not true, typically in order to gain some personal advantage. So, three questions tonight. Do you know where you came from? Do you know the origin of human life? Do you know the truth, or are you deceived? Do you know why you're here right now? Do you know the purpose and meaning of your life right now, today? Why God has allowed you to remain alive on the earth? Oh, to be deceived. Do you know where you're going? Your future? Do you know what's out in front of you? I remember several years ago, I said in a service, I was kind of getting excited, and I said, 100 years from now, some of you will be in hell. And a guy came to me months later and said that was his first Sunday at Nineveh. And he thought I was talking to him personally. And what if 100 years from now, there will be some people in this room right now that you will be in hell? Oh, to be deceived. Satan is a deceiver. It was his deception that brought death into the kingdoms of men. He has been the prince of this dark world ever since, but I close tonight by telling you his outcome. The end of the road called deception, the place where the absence of truth will actually dwell forever. The absence of truth has a future home. Hell. The Bible, which is truth, has revealed that one day maybe soon, the Antichrist is coming to the earth. I want you to notice the details of his arrival, his coming. This 5 week, actually we're going to do it in 4 weeks, is called While We Wait, Don't Let Me Be Deceived. Why is it a big deal? Here's what happens. 2 Thessalonians 2:9. This man, he's the Antichrist, the man of lawlessness, the beast, who is a man inhabited by Satan himself, possessed by Satan. This man will come to do the work of Satan with counterfeit power, signs, and miracles. He will use every kind of what? Say it out loud. Evil deception to fool those on their way to destruction because they love, and I'm going to hold it up, they love and accept the truth because they refuse to love and accept the truth that would have saved them. This is it. It's what I'm reading from tonight. That these people fall for the deception because they refuse to love and accept the truth that would have saved them. So God will cause them to be greatly deceived. And they will believe these lies. And then they will be condemned for enjoying evil rather than believing the truth. There's only one way to keep from being deceived. You know the truth. This is how it's all going to end. This is the truth. Revelation 20, verse 10. And then the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the fiery lake of burning sulfur, joining the beast and the false prophet. And there they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. I tell you the truth. This is the end for all the deceived. Those who refused the truth that could have saved them. Lord, I pray tonight, while we wait, I pray we cannot be deceived, distracted, dissuaded, discouraged, or disheartened. Jesus' first warning in the Olivet Discourse. I don't know why, but this one always gets me. When they asked Jesus, what will be the sign of the end? What will be the sign? You know what his answer is? Deception. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, when all this will happen, what will be the sign of your coming? What will be the sign of the end of the age? Show me a sign. How can I know? And Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name claiming I am the Christ, and they will, under the authority of some kind of powers, some kind of a religion, they will deceive many. They will fall for it. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen. But the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the truth that takes away the deception. I pray tonight for myself, my family, for your church, that we could not be deceived because the spirit of truth rests in us in the power of Jesus' name and amen. Thank you all for being here.